This is from Psalm 23, verse 3. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. To God, lover, beloved, and love. Amen. Again, Psalm 23, verse 3. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Here are a few names I'd like to toss out to you. Martin Luther King Jr., Mother Teresa. Don't names have power? I wonder how you feel when I say these names. Here are two others. Saint Francis of Assisi, Desmond Tutu. There's such authority in these names, such power and hope, such goodness and mercy. Names have power, if only to bring us to a memory where the person represented by that name had a connection with us, good or bad. Some ancients believed names even held mystical power. Did you know this? That when one names something and that name connects with the essence of that thing, then magic happens. Sparks fly. In some versions of Jewish mysticism, this is why one would never utter the name of God. Because to say the name of God is to connect with the power of God. And God's power is too great for any human to bear. I wonder if you believe this about God. Is God too great to bear? Is God a force greater than any of the other forces of the world? Does God's force overcome us? Does God's power go beyond our ability? Is God's name filled with the very power of God itself? There are a few different answers, too, anyway, to these questions. First, is God great, a greater force than any of the forces of the world? Well, some might say yes. There's a theology that suggests that God is indeed strong and mighty, stronger than you and stronger than me, mightier than you and me put together. This belief in God, a God who is strong and mighty, whose name is mighty and strong, is a classic understanding of God. In this theology, God is like the warrior coming to set the world aright, to bring justice and establish a new kingdom, not of this world, but from heaven, so that the violence of the kingdoms of this world cease and God's children can live in freedom and peace. In this theology, God has the power to begin and end war, to heal the sick, to cast out demons, and even to raise the dead. Can God do this? Is God strong enough to accomplish this? Yeah, say some, because God is not just mighty. God is the Almighty. I wonder if this is what you believe. I wonder how God is a force of power in your life. I wonder what happens when you call on the name of the Most High. But there's another answer to this question. Is God a force greater than any of the forces of the world? Because some say no. Some say no out of exasperation. Some say no because they are just observers of the world. They see that there is indeed a need for an all-powerful, almighty God. There is hunger and there's famine. There are various kinds of diseases. There are cancers and COVIDs. There is an insatiable appetite in the human mind for war. Innocents suffer. The unjust get away with it. The poor get trampled on. And in all this, these people who say no wonder, well, then where is God? Isn't God all-powerful? Isn't God almighty? And if so, and these terrible things still overwhelm the human experience, is God, who is strong enough to stop it, but who apparently does not, a good God? Or is this God a monster? Does calling on the name of God even matter? I wonder if you believe this. I wonder if from time to time you have believed this. I wonder if this is something you're challenged with today. This problem of God has been wrestled with since the advent of faith. If God's name contains the potential for all life, and if we are invited to call on the name of the Lord, the name of God, the name of Jesus, and if we do call on this name, this mighty name, and nothing happens, then what? What then? I think one of the problems we humans have in understanding God as an all-powerful or almighty God is that we have a distorted view of power or might in the first place. Might for us is the ability to be over and against another person or another force. Power for us is the ability to exercise one's own will over and against another person's will. It's my way, not your way. Might and power is for us a matter of size or weight or substance. But all this has nothing to do with God or God's power or might. God is not mighty like a sword-wielding giant. God is not powerful like a persuasive politician. No, God wields power and might in a wholly different way. A way that makes no sense. A way that goes against the grain of our understanding. I'd like to briefly explore God's power and might with you in a brief guided meditation of one of the most famous of the Psalms, Psalm 23. Just like Andrew did last week, let's get in a comfortable position. Let's plant our feet on the floor. Let's take a few deep breaths. If you're comfortable, close your eyes. If that helps you, listen. And let us listen to Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. Not in this instance our king, not our master, not our commander, but our shepherd. The Lord holds power in relation to us as a shepherd holds power in relation to their sheep. They tend them, they care for them, they minister to them, they serve them. The Lord, too, is our tender, our carer, our minister, our servant, the one who watches over us. And so, I shall not want. Everything we have now is everything we need to live a spiritually whole and vibrant life. The Good Shepherd gives us our daily bread, feeds our hearts and minds. We know this because the Good Shepherd does not lead us into battle or into the work cubicle, but rather he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths. That is, our Good Shepherd brings rest to our hearts. Not work. Rest. Even in a difficult world, during a difficult time, the Good Shepherd knows how to still the stormy waters of our minds as Jesus stilled the waters of Galilee. The Good Shepherd knows how to guide our decisions and our journeys through the deserts of our own time, deserts of ill health, deserts of fractured relationships, deserts of loneliness, deserts of fear. And why does the Good Shepherd do it? Why does the Good Shepherd do this? He does it for his name's sake. His name's sake. That is, he does this because that is who he is. The Good Shepherd can only act out of who he is. He can't betray his very essence, his being, which is to love, to care for the sheep of his pasture. God's powerful and mighty name comes not in his ability to dominate or control, but in his presence to care, to tend, to heal, restore, to create, to guide, to befriend, and to help. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil. Why? Because the Good Shepherd is with me. This is the crux of God's power, to be present with us even in the darkest valleys of life. It is for this reason Jesus came to walk alongside us on our roads to Golgotha, our roads to the crosses of our lives, and to not walk alone. For you are with me. God is not over us or beneath us or behind us or watching us from a distance, but is with us, is as near to us as our breath. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. God is like a rod and a staff which the shepherd uses to guide and direct. And so even in these dark valleys, we are confronted by the presence of a friend who walks with us. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. That is, wow. God, the Good Shepherd, exercises power not to crush our enemies, but to turn our enemies into companions, friends who will eat and drink with us. Is there a stronger power in the earth than the power to reconcile one to another? Isn't it easier, as Jesus suggested, to heal a person than it is to offer and receive forgiveness? The power in the name of God is a power to bring together all those things which have been scattered. And not only is God's power strong enough to reconcile, but listen to this: you anoint my head with oil. God anoints. That is meshach in Hebrew, krio in Greek. It is the root of the words Messiah and Christ. Again, God does not only have the power to bring this world back together again, but has the power to make us, you and I, agents of this reconciliation by anointing us as messiahs and Christs, Christians, if you will, to go into the pasture of this world as agents, ambassadors of reconciliation. My cup overflows. Our ministry as imitation of the Good Shepherd is a ministry of self-giving. We pour ourselves out as an offering of peace and love and hope and joy and justice for this world. Why? Because God has the power to fill us up and the power to show us how to give up, how to give without giving up. God shows us how to self-give. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That is, as we are led by the Good Shepherd, as we walk alongside the one who is with us through the darkest valleys, as we reconcile with our enemies, as we give out of our own selves, self-giving, we will become like John the Baptist, who goes before Christ preparing his way of goodness and mercy. Goodness and mercy shall follow me. We, through the generous power of self-giving of our shepherd, change the very world we have walked. Just like those powerful names I named a moment ago. The world has been changed by the power of God through the ministry of sheep like Martin Luther King Jr., who paved the road for Black Lives Matter and the exposure of institutional racism and police brutality. Goodness and mercy followed Martin Luther King Jr. Mother Teresa paved the way of concern and love for the most vulnerable in society in this world. Goodness and mercy followed Mother Teresa. Saint Francis of Assisi paved the road for ecological care and love so important in our day and age. Goodness and mercy continues to follow Saint Francis. Desmond Tutu, who paved and continues to pave the road for reconciliation, not only in South Africa post-apartheid, but also here in Canada post-residential schools. Goodness and mercy is still following the ministry of Desmond Tutu. So too us, you, and me, the power of God can change the world that we have journeyed through alongside the Good Shepherd. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. In this life, in this arduous journey from birth to death, in this very moment, we are a house for God. a dwelling place for the Spirit, a home to welcome Jesus in. The great power of God is not to dominate, to overrule, to lord it over, but to abide, to dwell, to be present to us through the paths of life until the very end. It is always wonderful to remember that God's direction is always toward us, toward this world. Why is it that we want to get out of here? The power of God is coming here. It is now in the shepherd who guides us, in Christ who calls us his own, in us who are anointed to labor with God, and in the world where God has made his home, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.